Michael
Kennedy
doesn't get it.
Podcast. Oh man, let's get this party started, man. Mike, how you doing, brother?
Man, I'm good, man. How are you doing, man?
Man, I'm doing good, man.
The sparkly filter going, man.
The people say keep it going, man. I got the hard eyes, so I'm gonna keep it going, bro. I'm gonna go. Oh man, now I got homeboys coming in here. It's about to be wild.
Lucy, you got some splaining to do.
Yo, man, I call you son because you shine like one. Man, all right, bro, we gotta get this thing started. It's late, man. People gotta go to work tomorrow. Me and you both gotta go to work tomorrow.
Started testing too, so it's a long day, brother.
Oh, that is not fun. We're gonna be testing next week, so
I don't miss.
Almost to the finish line, man. Hang in there.
Yeah, most definitely.
Yeah. Oh, she was joking. Oh, so I can take this off? I can take the filter off now?
Please take that thing off.
Yo, all right. There we go. Ooh. Oh, it's still there. Wait, it's still there. Oh, man, your wife just came on. Now she's going to be thinking, she already be thinking stuff. It's not what you think, Cordy. It's not what you think.
Man. Anyway.
Mike, you want to tell the people why we're here tonight?
Hey, man, we are here because your governor just sat up there and released a mandate saying we don't have to wear masks. That's why we're here.
That is not why we're here, y'all.
But I did want to ask your take on that.
Oh, okay. So for those that don't know, we're in the state of South Carolina, and Governor Henry McMaster, it kind of sounds like a foghorn, leghorn, if you will. He makes declarations, if you will. I say, this COVID is a total distraction and a hoax. If I must say so myself. That's how he sounds to us. Anyway, he recently said that the wearing of masks in public schools, which both Michael and I work in public school, he said it is now optional for us to wear masks. And I mean, we not listening to him, no way. In my school district, bro, we've been in school since August, like on the front line, no extra money for this. We just been out there in the thick of it. I know some other school districts, you know, y'all kind of phase yourselves into going back full time, but we've been full time face to face virtual all year long. So I really don't care about anything that he has to say about what we're gonna do and not gonna do in the schools. That's how I feel about it.
Yeah, I'm with you on that, man. And it's amazing to me how they want to mandate all of these things, but they're not giving us what we need to make sure that we're all safe. You know, if you want to sit up there and force these teachers to open up the schools and to be in a classroom full of kids, you would have at least had the vaccination available to us before you mandated this from the beginning. But even that to the side, we have a lot of teachers who decided to go ahead and get vaccinated, myself included, but the kids can't get vaccinated. So, you know, when you're sitting up here saying, you know, you don't have to wear a mask, just because you get vaccinated doesn't mean that you still can't catch the virus. So it's ridiculous how and how this became so politicized, but it is what it is. My district's not listening. I'm not listening to them. Regardless of what's going on, I'm wearing my mask. It would have been nice, maybe mandated this over the summer, maybe once schools let, versus you doing this 1 month before we're getting out of school. Like, what was the purpose of that? That's something that could have waited, in my opinion, but nonetheless.
Yeah. And like I said, where the money at?
Really?
Yo, where the money at, man? Y'all making us, you know, we've been in the trenches and we ain't got no more money yet. So yeah. Really don't care what you got to say. At this point, we're there for the kids. this really was a service for the kids and the parents this year. Like, and this, the fact that they still testing kids, because you said y'all testing. They testing in the middle of a pandemic when half the kids ain't even in school?
Yep.
This is wild. This year shouldn't even count, bro. This should be like
it should
a retrial period.
It should. And I'm with you. And hopefully this isn't a negative effect on schools as far as their report card, their yearly report card. But we'll see. We'll see how they decide to operate with this. But this is a joke, nonetheless. Let's
Aha.
Man, I was just joking around, people. I didn't mean to get into all of that this afternoon, and so I just figured I'd speak on it a little bit. But nonetheless, Ken, what we're really here for is a pertinent question that everybody wants to know, and that question is it okay for men to cry?
That's real, son. That's real, son.
Lady, I'll cry for you tonight. Jodeci cried?
Jodeci, bro, all the 90s R&B, like some of the best songs was the men crying.
Oh, man.
Bruh, like, a lot of people like to talk about, you talk to older folks, they go, oh, man, the best crying song is Lenny Williams, because he cried through the whole song. Man, that's cool. I mean, it is, if we were still doing karaoke, I'd definitely be in it. You know, I do like that song, because what we're going to get into just here in a second is, like, he's like, you know, he was one of the first men, though, just men in that era really was just putting their emotions out there. Like,
a lot of men did, man.
Yeah.
Because it catered to the women. It catered to the women. It showed the sensitive side of the man, you know?
Yeah.
It showed the sensitive side. And a lot of times when men are able to show their sensitive side, it shows a little bit of maturity on their part that they don't have to sit up there and put up this facade and they're in touch with their feelings. Because if I'm in touch with my feelings, then I can be in touch with your feelings.
Right. Right. And that allowed me to feel on you. Yeah. but seriously though, man, when it comes to like men being able to cry, I think society has done a great disservice. Because I remember, growing up, being a kid growing up, everybody would say, oh, you know, come on, toughen up, come on, boys don't cry, come on, be a man, you know, all that. Some of all that. People hate LeBron James because they was, oh, he be doing all that crying. I know that's a play on words. But still, it's the fact that like men are like almost like penalized. That's not the word I want to use, but I'm going to go with the word penalized for sharing their emotions. Because so what it does is it cuts them off from emotionally from a part of themselves, and it prevents them from really being able to connect emotionally outside of, you know, what they're able to do with, you know, maybe sensually or sexually. It really cuts them off from being able to connect in a deep and meaningful way, because they're not in touch with their feelings.
I think that's valid. I think that when you're looking at young boys, they're told, again, toughen up. If a little boy falls and, you know, scrapes his knee or something like that, you'll be all right, dust yourself off. If a little girl falls and scrapes her knees, it's like, oh, let me kiss it. I think that what winds up happening is it's embedded in them, it's ingrained in them that they're not to show emotions, and it's not to show, they're not to show emotions, and what happens is they wind up being labeled sensitive, right? Mm-hmm. And of course, no woman wants a sensitive man, because that's not manly. Oh. And what winds up happening is, you know, you wind up looking at men who may be more sensitive or may I don't even want to say sensitive, but maybe more in tune with their feelings or in touch with their feelings. And you almost get labeled as a weaker man because that's not what men do. And there's the problem, I think, that we wind up having. And there it just repeats that cycle because, again, it's ingrained from when kids are very young that boys toughen up, you know? And so I think that that's something that we really need to look at. We need to look at and we need to assess. And it's okay for you to feel the way you're feeling. And I think sometimes we need to learn to validate even boys when they're upset or when they're emotional, to validate those feelings and understand why they're feeling the way they're feeling. Now, there are some times where we can handle things a little bit differently, but that's you just teaching the child how to cope with those feelings, right? As an adult, we have the skills to cope with certain situations that a child may not. Doesn't mean that they're sensitive or that they need to toughen up. You teach them the skills on when this happens again, instead of us reacting this way, maybe we can react this, you know, a different way.
Yeah, yeah. Man, Don't Call Me Steph just made an excellent point. Like she said, not only are we like young men or young boys like taught to not just don't show emotions, like in some cases in lockers they're not even allowed to have them, like any type of emotion, like except maybe, you know, anger when you lose a game or something like that, but other than that it's like you don't have emotions. It's like from a little boy say, hey, don't show your emotion, you know, don't cry, don't do that, don't be jealous, or don't whatever. And so you grow up, you're five and you get told that, you're 10 and you get told that. But then something strange happened when you turn 25 and you get into a relationship. Oh, why don't you show more emotion? Yep. Why don't you tell me how you feeling? Yep. It's like, for 20 years, y'all been like, don't do this, don't do that. You ain't got this, this ain't how men act. And so I became what y'all, you know, I was conditioned for this. And so it was like, you asked me to show all these emotions. What are emotions? Yeah. This from the Destiny Child song? What are emotions? I don't know what you speak of.
No, I think that what winds up happening a lot of times is when we get older and we wind up internalizing a lot of our feelings and we wind up holding it in. And there are times, even with myself, I don't always share everything with my wife. And it's not that I'm keeping anything from her, but I have to learn, I've learned to process or internalize what it is that I'm feeling. Now, the problem is sometimes instead of me just coming out and saying, hey, this is how I'm feeling, I wind up keeping it in. I don't say anything about it or whatever it is. And then it builds up. And then there have been times where it's like it turns almost into resentment because I never express what it is that I was actually feeling. And it may seem something small, it may seem like it's not that big of a deal, but because I'm internalizing it and because I let it build and build, and you know, then something else happens and I don't say anything and it builds and it festers, then what winds up happening is you wind up being angry and, you know, almost not resentful, but you, for lack of a better term, resentful. And that person doesn't even understand why. And it's because you never expressed the emotions that you were actually feeling at the time. You were holding it in, you were bottling it up. And then what happens is one time there's going to be, you know, eventually there's going to be that one little thing and it's like, boom, you blow up. And it's like, why, you know, why are you blowing up over this? It wasn't that one thing. It was just the fact that you've internalized a lot of these emotions that you never released and you never expressed. And I think that can become detrimental and it's unhealthy in a relationship. And so you have to learn to not only express your feelings and whatever emotions you have, but as far as women are concerned, they also have to be receptive and understand that for a man to express his emotions, he's expressing some vulnerability and he has to trust that you're going to be able to respect where he's coming from and respect that vulnerability, right? You need to hear him. Doesn't mean that you have to always agree, but I need you to hear what it is I'm feeling, hear what it is that I'm saying. And then from there, you can get to a better understanding.
Man, bro, that's the thing. I got a lot of homegirls and a lot of female friends and acquaintances. I'm not exactly sure how that happened in life, but I do have a lot of men. We have some really good conversations. And I have noticed something about, through my female friends, like about women and their relationships with men, when they're asking us to express ourselves, you just hit it. Like men, because we're never taught to be vulnerable. Cause that's when you share how you feeling, how you thinking, when you sharing those deep things about people, it kind of puts you in a position to be harmed. And I guess the opposite is true also. It puts you in a position to be loved. But what men actually do when they're preventing themselves from being vulnerable, yeah, you might not be in a position to get hurt, but you're also losing the opportunity to be loved, or loved as deeply as you possibly could be. And I tell my female friends that men won't share, I don't even know if this is this episode, but men won't share things with women because, man, women tend to, and I'm generalizing, but I ain't saying all women, but women tend to hold on to things, and you hold on to them. Like, I come to you as a safe place, like, to tell it to you, like, you don't have to hold this, but women tend to hold it. And when we do get into an argument, when we do get into those heated moments, it comes right back in our face. And we're like, what? I told you that in private. I told you that in confidence. You just gonna slap me in front of my friends, you know? It's one of those moments. And you're like, oh my God, I can't trust her. I can't trust her with this part of me.
Yeah, and you're right. And Don't Call Me Steph is putting some things in the chat. Basically, anger is accepted. You know, boys will be boys. You know, they get mad. Everything else is generally considered unacceptable by some people. And she also made a point that is worse in some communities than others, especially when you're looking at the Black community. A guy who may be more in tune with his feelings may be considered soft, weak. Praying activator in the middle of this show. Brother.
Man, bro, they didn't even know that, man. This is going on the podcast, bro. They're not going to see this. My hair was getting dry, bro. Dang, man. So why can't I take care of myself, bro? See, that you the problem. You're a part of the problem.
You ain't supposed to be doing all of this. You ain't supposed to be doing all of this, brother.
Look, no, you're part of the problem, man. Like, brothers can't. See, look, you got to take care of your hair. You got to take care of your skin. You know what I'm saying? You got to get your facials and everything. You got to get your teeth bright.
So let me ask you this.
Scrape your tongue.
How do you feel about manicures, pedicures for men?
Since
we talking about, what's that?
Yes, brothers. Listen, any men that's going to hear this, stop playing around. Go get a manicure. Go get a pedicure. Take care of yourself. Yeah. Like, groom yourself. If you got ugly wolf man hair on your body, shape it up, cut it off, do something. Because listen, this is your body. You gotta take care of it. If you're the type of person that would go outside and cut your grass, or if you would have somebody cut your grass for you, then you can cut your own hair, or you can file your nails. At least cut them off. If you ain't gonna go get a manicure, cut them off. Cause I'm tired of when we play basketball, when outside open back up, I'm tired of hooping and getting scratched up because you ain't want to clip your nails. Cause nah, that ain't what men do. I'ma just let my nails get nasty and dirty all day. I'ma just be wolf man out here and scratch everybody up. And I dare them to call a foul. Look, come on, man. Are those veins or those scratch marks? Come on, man. Take care of yourself. And your woman don't want to look at no talons. You all in the bed scratching her legs, tearing the sheets up, because you don't want to go get a pedicure. Sick of it, man.
No, I'm joking with that. Real talk, my wife and I just went and got a mani and pedi a few weeks ago, man.
Thank you, brother.
I enjoy it, man. A pedicure make you, man, I don't even like walking after a pedicure. I feel like I'm walking on air, man. I don't want to walk on no know, after I finish with a pedicure. But no, I mean, we're real talk, man. I think all of that is a part of the whole men being soft, sensitive, things of that nature. And I don't think it's warranted. I think that it's old and it's outdated. I think it's more of a caveman mentality. You know,
my ancestors didn't come from no caves, but go ahead, bro. I got what you're saying.
Whatever. That's another podcast, brother. That's but I mean, point being, I think that it's important that men are in touch with their feelings. And I also think that it's important that women take the time to understand and to listen. And if I can trust you when I'm at my most vulnerable, then that just opens the door for so much more in a deeper relationship, because now that trust especially can go two ways and it can lead to a deeper intimacy in the relationship. And I don't, when I say intimacy, I don't mean necessarily just sex, right? When we say intimacy, it's that closeness, that trust, that bond between the two of you. But again, it requires trust. And when I do open up, I need to trust you with my feelings. The same way women trust men with their heart, men have to trust women with their heart as well. And men's heart can be broken. Men's hearts can be broken as well, right? We may have that rough exterior, we may try to fake it, but men can be hurt as well. And I need you to understand that, right?
Yeah, for sure, man. I think we need to do an episode about or at least a segment about who takes heartbreak worse. I personally think men do, but let's save it. Let's shelf that one for right now. Because yeah. I want to touch on something you just said. I want to take something a step further, though. You was like, you know, we got to trust women. Like, women, you know, got to allow us to trust, you know, be put in positions where we can trust them with our feelings. I would encourage guys, especially for you married men. I know I'm not married, but especially for married men, or just men in general. I won't even just say it for married men, for men in general. Yeah. I would say, just go ahead, trust her anyway. Even if she hasn't shown herself trustworthy in the past, I would say, trust her with your feelings, with your emotions. Because one thing I feel like we as men, we have to do a better job of maturing emotionally. We have to learn how to start showing some emotional strength, because even though we don't want to be in a position to hurt or be harmed, I think we got to start doing the work to heal. Because if I'm comfortable, and I feel like if I'm comfortable with myself, whether I know how to deal with an offense. And like, even if it comes from somebody I love, like I can still be hurt, but I don't have to go. I don't have to retreat. I don't have to recluse. I can still work through the hurt, work through the pain. Just like if I was going to the gym, like I wouldn't be like, oh well, you know, I gotta make sure that I trust the weight. Sometimes you just gotta continue to do the work, continue to go through the pain, because sometimes I think a lot of women, like, if we give them the opportunity, they wouldn't hurt us. They would actually be there for ways and be there for us in ways that we probably couldn't even imagine. It's kind of like you say, like the intimacy and everything would be deeper. I think we gotta do the work to become emotionally mature, not just physically mature and like growing up in stature, but not just intellectually and intelligently mature by going to school and getting educated and all this other thing. We gotta do the work to mature emotionally, and not just with the women, like with our friends. Like you say, this your homeboy, this your brother. Like, share with him, hey man, I'm dealing with this. Hey man, I'm going with this. Or hey man, I love you. Like, not hey, all right man, love you real quick. You know, like give, instead of always giving him a dab, like, give your brother a hug. Like, give him a real hug, cause you want to. I think we're missing out a lot, just relationship. Vertically, horizontally, diagonally, all across the board, we're missing out because so many people are holding back. They're afraid to be hurt. And I think, man, we gotta throw that off and just go for it, man. Let love win the day, man.
Yeah, I hear you to some extent. And there's a couple of things that I wanted to touch on with what you just shared. I mean, trust is one of those things easily, you know, is hard to gain, easily, you know, broken. And sometimes it does take time. It does take time for people to trust. It doesn't mean that you won't get there, right? The same way that we talk about women coming into relationships with baggage, men come with baggage as well at times. And, you know, the one thing that I've learned in regards to relationships, I am trusting until you give me a reason not to trust you. I take life lessons and I just recognize red flags, right? So if something happened in a previous relationship, that doesn't mean I'm gonna take it out on you, but it does give me opportunities to say, you know what, in that last relationship, I didn't like this. That's a red flag for me. So I'll make sure that I communicate that to you in this next relationship to let you know, hey, this is a red flag for me, right? It gives me the opportunity to express to you my expectations, and it gives you the opportunity to understand that. And that's where maybe that negotiation may come into play, right? Maybe what it is that I'm expecting is unreasonable. And so that's where that negotiation can come into play. But it's not me holding anything back, you know, or not me holding anything against you from a previous relationship or anything of that nature. Now, the other thing I will say is, in regards to what you were talking about with fellas, you know, talking to one another, hey, I love you and everything else. One of the things that I have learned, especially as a man and, you know, having a lot of black male friends where we all had that mentality, guys don't show their emotions and things of that nature. I have learned that a lot of my brothers are going through things, and they do need to talk, and they do need to go to counseling, and they do need help. And I am glad that I'm around men who are like-minded, to where we recognize mental health is a real issue, especially in the black community. Oftentimes with the black community, we pray about it. Jesus will fix it, right? And there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with praying. There's nothing wrong with having faith. But at the same time, who's to say that your healing is not in that psychiatrist's chair right now, or that counselor's chair right now? That's where your healing is at. That's the same way. If I fell and I broke my arm, I can sit here and I can pray, Lord will fix it. Jesus, heal me. But my healing may be at that doctor's office when he places a cast on my arm. That's the healing that God has for me. And so when you were talking about just men loving one another and just embracing one another, we have to recognize that that's real as well, and not to denigrate or demean anybody who's going through rough times, that brother who may need a cry, that brother who may need an ear, without sitting up here thinking, oh, they're going to think that I'm soft, or they're going to think that I'm weak because I feel this way. So it's important that we are in tune with not only our own feelings, but we're in tune with other people's feelings as well, and that they can trust us with their difficulties, and they can trust us with anything that they're struggling with as well.
Hey, that's real, man. Well, y'all, we're getting to a closing point, but before we get out of here, Mike, I got one question for you.
Go for it, brother.
When's the last time you cried?
Ooh! All right, so here's the thing. All right, here's the thing, and this is real talk. I am not, and Kenny knows me, and for those of y'all who listen to the podcast, you all know when it comes to movies and things of that nature, I am not one to watch movies that are going to feel anything. A lot of times, I like action movies, I like comedies, and that's it, right? As an educator, as a black man, watching the news, raising a black family, I am oftentimes emotionally tapped out, and I do not have anything to give, not to no TV screen or not to no movie screen. I want to be I have been trying to change that as of late, right? I've been trying to change that as of late. I have been broadening my circle of, you know, entertainment now, and things that make me think, things that make me feel. I am not too often a crier. I cry, and I'm okay with crying. And I've cried in front of my wife, and I'm okay with that. But it doesn't come often. The last time I probably cried was when my little one, Kenny, as you know, was in the hospital. That's probably the last time I cried, and that was almost two years ago. Before that, last time I cried was, you know when I cry the most?
When?
Church. Church always gets me.
For real? Mm.
Church gets me. Because I always, when I think about the good Lord and what he has brought me through.
Hey, hey!
Oh, but to show a little bit of emotion sometimes. You know, the Lord has brought me a mighty long way. And I'm not where I need to be, but thank God I'm not where I used to be. So yeah, church will get me a lot of times. I never cried when my kids were born. I hadn't cried when my sons were born.
Ain't cried at the wedding?
Kenny, you were there, brother. Yeah, you were there. Oh, yeah. Brother, now mind you, so for those of y'all, again, who are just now joining us, Kenny was in my wedding, right? Kenny was one of the ushers in my wedding. This was a long time ago. And we were actually already married, right? My wife and I were already married when we had the ceremony. And so when we had the ceremony and they opened the doors, this was already my wife. We had been married for a few months by the time the ceremony rolls in. But when they opened up the door and I saw my wife coming down the aisle in that dress, brother got emotional.
A thug tear.
Yeah, no. I wish I could say it was a thug. No, it was give me a handkerchief. Like it was an ugly cry. So, but yeah. I mean, I'm not adverse to crying. I don't have a problem with crying. But it may take a minute for me to get to that point, right?
Yeah.
What about you? I know you've been having an emotional roller coaster in the last year, brother. When last did you cry? Yesterday?
You saw your wife put in the chat?
That's cool. That's cool.
Oh, no, he cried. Oh, no. Yeah.
Yeah, I did. I'm not gonna stunt. She was beautiful. Kenny, hey.
Oh, yeah. No, she was gorgeous, man. Walking down the aisles, and it was a beautiful ceremony. We had a good time.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah. That's why I was like, wait a minute now. His brother talking about he don't be crying. I remember. I just wanted you to confirm it in front of the good folks here on Instagram. Tonight.
One thing at the Michael Kennedy podcast, we always keep it 100, man. We gonna keep it 100.
That's right.
So, Ken, when the last time you cried, man? Yesterday? This morning?
All right, first of all, what you not gonna do? just act like I be crying all the time, okay?
All right, now, time out. Real talk. Tell everybody your journey, your emotional journey. Go ahead, man. I'll give you the floor. You can close out the podcast.
My Lord. All right. So it started many moons ago in a little town called Ridgeway, South Carolina. No. So as a young person, I just didn't cry. I didn't cry. I wasn't afraid of much as a child. I was angry a lot. Oh man, y'all not my therapist. Anyway, I was angry a lot for sure, but I never really was a crier. I mean, my grandmother, like most people cry at death and at funerals, but my grandmother had taught me so much about death that I was prepared and I understood why people died, even though it didn't make sense to me. Like I had an understanding of death. So death didn't frighten me. And so I didn't cry when we lost people. But gosh, man, I think the first time I honestly cried was not when my grandmother died, because I was taking care of my grandmother when she passed, and so I was actually the one to like find her when she made a transition. But I didn't cry. Like I just handled business. I couldn't afford to cry. I had to take care of stuff. It's just me and my mom and my little brother. So I had to I didn't have time to cry. Like I had to be the man, if you will. So get things done. But I cried at her funeral, I know, because I was one of the speakers, and I was cool up until it was time for me to speak, and I cried at her funeral. I cried when my grandfather passed, my mom's dad. But 2020, so my grandmother passed in 2013, her husband passed in 2012. I kind of teared up. I ain't really cry. And my grandfather's, I just kind of teared up. My grandmother, in that moment at the church, at the gravesite. But then 2020 came.
Yeah.
Lord, man, I done cried so much. I've cried so much in the year of 2020. It is ridiculous.
Why is that?
Why did I cry?
No, well, I mean, like, you and I have already had this conversation. So,
yeah,
you know, but where did this all stem from?
So in 2020, I'm trying to figure out how, I'm trying to remember what I told you, but because I want to make sure I get my, I don't want to tell too much because this ain't that podcast.
No.
Actually, it is that podcast. So in 2020, I mean, rough year, like most of us. So much happened, so much unexpected, and it was just, man, I was cruising, you know, like 2020 was good for me, like, cause I was staying in the house and everything was cool. But then, man, I don't know, I just started thinking about life, and I started really thinking about my past and like why things happen. There's an old African proverb, like, if you slip on a banana, you don't look at where you fell, you look at where you slipped. And so I was trying to figure out, where did I slip and why did I go wrong? And some of the work was intentional, but a lot of it, it was just like things that was just coming to me from my past. And man, a lot of it had to do with my father. And I'll say that for another episode, but just me and my father's relationship and a lot of, like, you know, hurt or unspoken things, you know, untapped emotions or unreleased emotions from that moment. And those from that moment, just looking things at my dad, I'm trying to figure out, like, I'm feeling angry again, and now I don't know why I'm all angry again. So much is happening, and I don't know why it's happening. I keep thinking about exes, you know, going back in the past. Like, I'll tell y'all, I went on an apology tour. Like, I actually started this in 2019. Like, I went back to all the ex-girlfriends, all the girls I used to talk to, were the ones that would listen, and I was like, yo, I apologize, I'm sorry. Like, I was, for whatever, and a lot of us, we were able to kind of talk some things out and kind of hash some things out, and that was really cool. And 2020 comes around, now I'm starting to, like, think about some other ex-girlfriends and whatnot, and I'm like, yo, what's going on? I still don't, not putting the pieces together. I'm waking up crying. Like, bro, I wake up in the middle of the night crying. I'm like, yo, what's going on? What is this stuff coming out of my eyes? Because I don't cry. Like, I cried at two funerals in 30-some years. Like, what is going on? But I'm waking up crying. Don't know what's going on. I get into a conversation with my baby brother in November, I believe it was November, and me and my brother, like, we arguing. Like, I mean, like, we not fighting, but we going back and forth. Like, we argue for 4 hours.
Yeah,
I don't want to do nothing with nobody for 4 hours straight, but we argue for we argue for 4 hours straight. And so my brother kept saying, no, this, that. And, you know, talking about stuff from my childhood. And I was like, no, it wasn't like that. You don't understand. And then my brother said something to me, and I can't remember what he said, but it was in that moment where I realized what had went wrong. In my attempt to keep myself from being harmed as a child, you know, emotionally,
yeah,
I built up a wall, a tower, if you will. And I said, you know what? Nobody's getting in my tower. Nobody's gonna get close to me. Nobody's gonna be in a place where they can hurt me. and I just kept everybody out, even my parents. And I remember going forward, like, I've always tried to be like a listener, an ear for people, somebody they can talk to. So I'd be like, yo, y'all can get these love bombs, but y'all can't love me. Nobody's gonna love me. Catch a love bomb, boom, can't throw it back because my tower too high. But then I realized, I was like, oh snap, I kept my brother on the other side of that wall. I was like, oh my God, I can't believe I did that. Here we are 20 some years later, and now I'm realizing that in an attempt to protect myself, I end up hurting my brother. And I can tell, I'm not gonna tell his story for him, but I can tell how that has affected him. And so I'm like, oh my God, bro, I'm so sorry. And I'm crying. Like, I'm hard down crying because I see the pain, I see the hurt, I see the trauma, if you will, from him feeling abandoned from his big brother. He felt like his big brother abandoned him. And I didn't see it like that as a youngster, because I was like Cordelia said, I was just getting ready to protect myself, but I didn't realize that I was truly doing, because I was so young. Like, I didn't know, and I didn't talk to anybody about this. Like, I didn't consult my mom, my grandma, my dad. No way. I was just doing this on my own. And so it was in that moment I realized why all of my previous romantic relationships had failed. Because as soon as somebody tried to get close, I'd be like, it hit the husband on them. Like, no, man. What you doing there, gal? You too close, man. Back up, gal. And so
they say, hurt people, hurt people.
Right. And I was like, I ain't hurt. Man, I'm hurt. I'm fine. And yeah. I'm your counselor. I'm listening to you, give you advice. I'm not hurt. Yeah. And it wasn't until I realized, like you just said, oh, not only do hurt people, but hurt people also hurt themselves.
Yeah, they do.
When you cut yourself off from love, you're not just failing to receive, to give something, but you're also failing to receive something. And I didn't realize that part in it. Because I believe had I realized it, I wouldn't have done it. I would have just said, you know what? I forgive the past. I'm letting it go. I'm not letting it keep me caged up anymore. I'm just going to love freely. And let the chips fall where they may, and be more intentional in my love. And so me and I went back and I apologized, and now I'm crying in front of ex-girlfriends, and now I'm crying in front of my therapist. I'm like, good Lord, I don't want to cry no more. Then my other granddaddy died. I said, come on, Jesus. Come on, man. Give me a break, brother. My granddaddy passed. My pastor passed, who was like a granddaddy to me. I'm like, oh my God. Sorry, not oh my God. You know what I mean. Yeah. I was just crying. 2020, I was just crying.
Actually, it sounds like 2020, you were taking those bricks down from that tower.
Yeah. Oh, screw that tower. I set it on fire.
Yeah. So.
Yeah.
but real talk, man. And I know you and I, you know, we've talked about all of this stuff like that, but I mean, it's honestly one of those where, first of all, I respect all of that. I respect your journey. I really do. That's real talk. I respect your journey. And you know, I'm
Mike, hold up. I want to say something before I forget, because Cordelia, just your wife just reminded me of something. She said in the chat that I released. I truly did, because there's one more time that I cried. I didn't tell a lot of people about this. I told you about when my grandmother passed. Like, my grandmother raised me, and then in the end, I was helping take care of her. And my grandmother passed in 2013. I never took the opportunity to cry. I would, like, when I would post pictures about her, I would, like, even say in a post, like, I haven't cried yet. And I was like, maybe one day I will. I don't know. But I didn't cry. Other than, you know, that thing at the funeral, I never grieved. That's why I never grieved. I cried, technically, but I never grieved. And so what happened, now I never forget, I was sitting in the car, 2:00 in the morning. I can't remember where I just came from, but it was 2:00 in the morning. You know how you get home and you just kind of sit in your car, no matter what time it is. Some people just sit in their car. I'm sitting in my car. And somebody made a post about life insurance on Facebook. And it was like, man, you know, grandma and granddaddy didn't leave us no money. No, didn't leave us no instructions. They, so I don't know if there's somebody that life insurance or a will. They didn't leave us no instructions to do anything. And I was like, dang, my grandma left me all the instructions, but she didn't leave me no money. And so I was like, you know, I was like, dang, so I'm gonna have to go get it. But then it was in that moment, I was like, man, grandma, I wish you was here. Grandma, I wish you could see what we about to do. And I said, grandma, if you can, I said, Lord, if she can see me, I don't know how this works, but if she can see, I was like, grandma, we're going to make it happen. I'm going to make sure that I honor your legacy. I just, as I'm thanking my grandma, bro, I just start bawling. Like I feel the wells filling up right now. Like as I was just thinking about her, man, I was like, you know what? I'm thankful for the lessons that you taught me. And it's like, all this stuff was just coming out. 2 o'clock in the morning, pitch black, dark outside. Cause you know, we're in the country. Yeah. So it's like, it's all just coming out to me, man. And I ain't trying to stop it. I'm like, let it fly. Let it ride. Come on. Just come on out, man. I had nobody. I'll tell y'all this. I ain't had nobody in the car to hug me, so I hugged myself. Come on now. Sometimes you got to hug yourself.
There you go.
I hugged myself, man. But yeah, I let it go, man. I let it go.
Yeah. Hey, man. I respect it, man. I know when my grandmother passed away, you know, I cried. I didn't grieve. And I think it was also because she was already going through some health issues, you know, dementia and everything else. And so it was one of those where it wasn't a surprise. It wasn't a shock or anything. But the times that I cried, it wasn't out of sadness. It was almost out of celebration, just thinking about her life, thinking about her legacy, just remembering those fun times, remembering those good times is what touched me the most. It wasn't out of sadness though, you know?
Yeah.
And oftentimes when I'm in funerals, it's more the memories of that person, not necessarily sadness, just good memories and just, you know, just a celebration of them. And so, but I understand where you're coming from, and I respect it, and you know, I love it. I know that, you know, that was a difficult time for you. I know that. I recognize that. I remember that. But nonetheless, you know, look at where you're at now. You know, look at where you're at now. And I know she's from, you know, in heaven smiling down on you, just like I know mine is. And so, you know, brother, we're just going to keep persevering, and we're going to keep on making it. We're going to keep pushing it. We're going to try to keep making this world a better place and building others up as well. And so if anybody gets anything from this, just understand that it's okay for you to cry. It is okay for you to be in touch with your feelings. It's okay for you to trust. And we want you to understand that when we're able to have those connections with others, it just builds intimacy. It builds a deeper relationship. It builds a deeper bond. And hence, it builds a deeper opportunity for love. So, honestly, Ken?
Yeah.
Hey, I appreciate you sharing, brother.
Yeah, man. We're in an AA meeting. Thanks for sharing. Yeah, I love it, man. No, this is what it's about, man. We definitely want to be, you know, a help to others. So, you know, we'll share our stories. Hopefully it's helped somebody. I feel good about it. You guys are awesome, man. Bro, you awesome. You're always there. I appreciate you, man. Love you, man.
Hey, likewise, man. Real talk.
Yeah. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
So, anything else you want to leave for the people, man?
Man, listen, I hope after we hang up, I don't start crying. I got a work in the, I might need to cry, man. I ain't had a nice cry. I ain't cried in 2021 yet, so I might need to. It's May. Dog, it's May.
It is May. Bro, real talk. Middle of May.
Middle of May.
2021 already. We're almost halfway through with this 2021 already, man. That's crazy.
Man, bro, I don't know, man. The only thing we got left for y'all is, yo, don't go. To all you people that went and bought up all the gas, what you gonna do with all the gas if we can't go nowhere?
Why? Hey, man, they got gas left up in Fairfield County?
We might have some gas, but the Richland County is tapped. And don't y'all cross that county line, because we got boys waiting at it. Don't y'all even think about it. Y'all go to Lexington or somewhere with that. Don't even come this way. If it even look like y'all about to say, hey, we going to... No, don't even think about it. Don't even come this way. Don't even say... I don't even want to hear you talk about the state fair. Don't even say nothing got to do with the fair.
Nothing with the fair.
Nothing to do with the fair.
Man.
Nothing. At all, man. But yeah, Brent, this is good. Men, that's for the men that's still on, hey, brothers, don't be afraid to cry. Women, yeah. They got men in their lives, your dads, husbands, boyfriends, brothers, cousins. Hey, try to encourage them to cry. Let's be safe spaces for each other, yeah. so that we can release and continue to work toward work on this journey toward wholeness. I love it, man. This has been awesome.
Hey, likewise, man. Well, hey, man, if there's nothing else, all hearts and minds are clear. We appreciate y'all listening. Again, check us out. Michael Kennedy Doesn't Get It podcast on any place that you get your podcast from. So with that said, you all will be posting this tomorrow.
Tomorrow morning on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, everywhere.
Yeah, share it with your friends and make sure that you subscribe. All right. With that said, ladies and gentlemen, y'all have a good night. Love y'all. Peace.